Many of you, especially if the Northern Hills is your home, will know one of the early names that came to us as part of the Gold Rush. His name was Preacher Smith. Preacher Smith was the very first preacher up into the Gold Rush in 1876, up into the Lead and Deadwood area. What an amazing mess of chaos. At the time that he got here in 1876, he was about 47 years old. Originally born over on the East Coast, up in New England, he married and he had a family, and then the Civil War came. And he went off as a volunteer in the Union Army. He fought, he returned home, and something happened. I don't know when, and I don't know where, and I don't know how, and I don't know with whom, but somehow, some way, he had a direct run-in with Jesus Christ. And something changed inside of his life. It was just a passion that he would spread God's word. And so he became Preacher Smith. Now, what this meant was that in 1874, gold was discovered in the Black Hills by the Custer Expedition. Now, of course, this was already land that had been ceded and deeded to the Native American tribes. And so everything was trespassing, but it was, how do you even stop this? How do you even stop the energy? It was huge. It was monstrous. And in 1876, in the spring of that year, everything broke loose. And Preacher Smith came up. His family stayed in the Omaha area. He came across on the rails as far as he could. And at the end of the rails, he joined an overland train. Now, what this was a huge team of oxen. They would sometimes have up to 20 oxen in a team, and then they would have a train of wagons behind them, and overland they would go. They came up to Custer. There they reorganized, and he jumped onto another team that was coming up and came up into Lead Deadwood in late May of 1876. Now, most of the people who were up in Deadwood at that time were there for the gold rush. They were there to dig and to find the gold stuff. He was not. He was there for souls. And so he didn't need to go out into the mining field. He got a job in the community itself. And there in the community, I forget just what the job was, but it was one of those that was resourcing. It was a supply, one of the supply stores. And every chance he got, he began to establish Bible studies. He began to establish preaching points. He began to step into that wild and woolly West. And into that chaos, he tried to bring some order. June, July, he established small groups. He established those preaching points. And as he could, he then began to travel down the hill into those areas where he could begin to preach. In other towns, in other communities, in other farm places, in other homesteads. August 20th, 1876. He closed the door of his cabin and he came down the hill. He never made it to his preaching point. He was ambushed halfway there and killed. This was Preacher Smith. An amazing man who laid down his life. Wow, who laid down his life for the sheep. This is the power of this verse that we hear. The verse that I want you to hear and remember today is right out of John 10. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let's explore. What does that mean to lay down your life? What does it mean to lay down your life for the sheep? We would say about Preacher Smith, he laid down his life because he gave up his life. His life ended in the service that he was giving to God. But here's what I want to tell you today. It's not about how he died. It's about how he lived. If he had stayed in Nebraska, if he had stayed in New England, we never would have known about him. It was the choices that he made in life. The most powerful thing was not how he died. It was how he lived. I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Jesus' day, Shepherding was far, far different. You got to meet Jody and Fluffy Frank today. And if the shepherds in Jesus' day were to come into their farm, they would say, "What? You do it how?" They would bring the sheep down closer into the local towns during the winter because there wasn't feed out there. They brought the sheep down, the flocks, to where they could actually feed them. And then in the springtime, when the grass was growing up on the higher levels, the shepherds would take the sheep and go up. This was a long, lonely, difficult, dirty job. And eventually, there were no showers up there. Eventually, those shepherds simply smelled exactly like their sheep. You just became part of the flock. All of those months that they would spend up in the hills alone, there was no one to talk to, and this was one of those jobs that was 99% pure boredom and 1% pure terror. Because you also had to be prepared to use your weapons, whatever savvy you had, to protect the flock. Sometimes from thieves, sometimes from wild animals, you had to be ready to protect the flock. Which means you had to be ready to lay down your life. Not just the 1% of the time where you laid down your life in protection of the flock. You also were laying down your life in the other 99% of the time. You were laying down your life in pure boredom. There was no place else that you could go. There was nothing else that you could do. You had to be fully present there. Now that is laying down your life. That, I think, is the true way that we lay down your life. It's not about how you die, it's about how you live. That's the power. So, let me lift up to you a couple of famous examples. But then we're going to bring this home, and we're going to bring this home back into your baptism and into your faith. Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968. And we would all be willing to say he laid down his life for the sheep. He gave up his life for what he truly believed in. But the fact of the matter is, we never would have paid attention to how he died if we hadn't been paying attention to how he lived. When he was a teenager, it was in his mid-teens that Martin Luther King began to become really involved with that conversation that was civil rights and human rights inside of our society, that he began to figure out that he needed to fight, that he needed to stand up. And so he began to live that life. He began to learn and to grow. What was it going to take, and where could he go, and how could he lead? He died at the age of 39. And that means that he stepped into leadership very, very early in his life. By the time he was in his late teens, early 20s, he already was developing a name for himself as a leader. You know what? It wasn't about how he died that mattered. It was how he lived. If he had not lived the life that he did, if he had not stood for the things that he did, we never would have paid attention to his death. It's not about how you die. It's about how you live. I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. At some points in the Bible, in John, it says, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And this is crucial for us to know. It's an amazing thing to be able to say, we're not good at taking care of ourselves sometime. We need a savior. We need a protector. We need a guide. Jesus is the good shepherd, there to guide us, support us, surround us. I am the good shepherd. But when you go back into the Old Testament, centuries before Jesus was ever on the picture, you see these words in Scripture, in Psalms, and so many other places where God is the shepherd. And there's a difference inside of that. God is the one protecting us. God is the one surrounding us. God is the one walking with us. And then we go up into the New Testament, and very specifically, the whole metaphor, the whole phrase turns, and you become the good shepherd. You are the one who cares for others. You are the one who protects others. This is the power of what Scripture is giving us. It's all of the different twists and turns and understandings of what it means to be that shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. But Scripture says, you are the good shepherd. Well, let me tell you about Harriet Tubman. Do you remember this name? I love this name. Harriet Tubman, I believe, was born a slave pre-Civil War. And then later in her life became free. But she did not just run to the Northland and stay there. She stayed down in the South and began working to free slaves. And she was an important part of the Underground Railroad. You remember the Underground Railroad? It was this series of people, an entire string of people that in many parts of our nation were funneling people, hiding them, protecting them, getting them out of slavery up into the Northland of freedom or even up into Canada. Harriet Tubman was an incredibly important part of this. Harriet Tubman lived to be a pretty old woman. Harriet Tubman died of natural causes. And yet I would still say she laid down her life. She was a shepherd. And she laid down her life, not because of how she died. She died an old woman of natural causes. No. It was all about how she lived. The courage that it took to stand up, the courage that it took to speak, the courage that it took to hide others and protect others. It wasn't about how she died, it was about how she lived. This is true of you. And today we get to see lovely Miss Emily as she comes for baptism. Baptism is one of the most important moments and times in our life. It is that moment in our Christian faith where we have been claimed by God. Now, it's powerful symbolism because obviously Emily has not a clue what just happened in her life. But it's not a magic wand. It's the symbol, the power of that symbol that says, Emily, my darling, you are claimed by God. You have been claimed by this congregation. You are part of this family of faith, and we are here to shepherd you. We are here to guide you. We are here to laugh with you. We are here to learn your name. We're here to help you through Cookie Line. We're here to help you into vacation Bible school when you're old enough. We're here to guide you up into confirmation. We're here until that time when you are old enough to come to the altar rail. And in the blessing, we hear those words of baptism spoken again as you claim them for yourself. This is the power of confirmation, where we are saying we are at the point where we can speak for ourselves. This responsibility never ends. Your baptism is your baptism, but it is not real until you claim it, until you make your baptism real. When you say, I have been baptized, and you move from simply being shepherded to shepherding. When you move from being the sheep to the shepherd. When you move from being one that is only surrounded by God to one through whom God flows to others. This is the power. I see this all the time. All the time with you. We had this wonderful conversation. It was very, very unexpected. Joanne Bachwalt was in early worship this morning. Joanne is in her 80s, and her husband Lyle is up at Dorset Home. And she just sits right around here each week. And I said, so Joanne, have you been up to Dorset yet today? Oh, no, not yet. Are you going? Well, yes, because Joanne goes every day. She goes up to be with her husband, Lyle, and they sit and they laugh and they have lunch together. And sometimes they have supper together and they talk and they continue this huge, long marriage, even though they're now living in different places. And it's an amazing thing. And I said, so Joanne, who else do you talk with? And even in the middle of the sermon, Joanne started talking. And it was so much fun just to hear her say, I go up and I wrap my arms around people. So Joanne, is this a sacrifice? No. And she smiled. It's not a sacrifice, it's just what I do. Bingo. Bingo. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It is not about how you die. It is about how you live. Are you willing to become the shepherd? Are you willing to claim your baptism, to claim your faith, to be able to say, I am now the one that reaches out. I am now the one that lives. I am now the one that helps others. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because this is what it's all about. Claiming your baptism and making it real so that you reach out. It's not about how you die. It's about how you live every single day. It's about the fact that we love to go up to Dorset Home. And every day, we, not just me, us, we together, we're there and loving and living. It's about Edgewood Vista. Oh my goodness, it's about the hospital. It is so much fun. In early worship, one of the worship team members is Heather Brewer, and Heather is one of the baby doctors in town. She's an OBGYN. And whenever Heather can't be there on a Sunday morning, we leave her stand up and open because we know where she is. She's up in the baby department, bringing a new life into the world. And we always pray for that new baby as we start worship. Where are you working? It's about where you work and about the people that you are with. It's about the organizations that you are in and how you're helping. Where are you going to school? Where are you at in that? When we say it's not about how you die, it's about how you live. You are the shepherd. You are the one through whom God works. You are the one that becomes God's hands. You are the shepherd. And it is an amazing thing when we live and love and support each other, when we live in community, when we share that love of God and make it real. No hypocrisy, make it real. Not just words, action. We don't just talk the talk, we walk the walk. This is what it's about. It's not about how you die. It's about how you live. And Preacher Smith, on that day, on August 20th of 1876, came to the end of his life. But if he were here today and if he were preaching, he would be the first to tell you that's not the important part. The important part came all of those years before then. May it be that you live each day. Because it's not about how you die. It's about how you live. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord of love and Lord of life, we want to give thanks for the way that you move and work in us. So, Lord, challenge us. Poke us, prod us, lead us, guide us. Be our shepherd so that we in turn can be the shepherd for others. This we ask, this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.